It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the next room. It's always a good day when I get to step out of my studio. Normally, my puppy is down at my feet, but because it's a little later in the day this time around, she started getting a little feisty, and I thought, yeah, I don't want to be trying to shove cookies at her to keep her quiet during this interview, because it's going to be such a good interview. My guest today is an extraordinary woman. We are friends through Empower Radio because she also has a show here on this fabulous network. Her show is called The Miracle of Healing, and you can hear it and go, of course, and listen to all the shows on demand or download. But her show airs on Tuesday. She has a brand new book that just came out. It's called Energy Healing for Empaths. And we're going to talk all about her new book. Her name is Lisa Campion. She is just an amazing woman, and I'm so happy she would take the next 30 minutes to sit down and chat with me. Welcome to the next room, Lisa.
Oh, thank you so much, Jane. It's always fun to be on the radio, and especially with somebody else in the Empower Radio family. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with me.
Well, I'm glad you could be here. And your new book, thank you so much for sending me a copy. I sat down and I started reading it, and right away there were so many things that I was like, oh, I have to talk to her about this. So, Lisa, what is the difference for the listeners between a psychic and an empath? Because empath, it seems like it's become quite the buzzword. Like, everybody has heard about psychics for years and years, but empath seems to be like the new thing now.
Yeah, it's a great question. So, and I think they're in a way subsets of each other, they have some overlapping qualities, but empaths are really the psychic sponges of the world. So, and it is one of the psychic, you know, being an empath, but empath is a little different from just like, right, normal empathy, like where you feel sorry for somebody or you have sympathy for them. Being an empath means that you literally absorb the energy, the feelings, the emotions, sometimes the thoughts, the physical sensations of other people, like a sponge. You sit next to somebody who's not having a good day, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I feel so sad, or I have this pain in my body somewhere. And when we know what to do with it and we know why we have it, we can understand that those are incredibly powerful tools that are meant for healers. It's like having a built-in MRI, X-ray machine inside of yourself, and it's meant to be used to feel what other people are feeling so you can assist them if they're, you know, if they're in distress. And psychic is a little different. So psychic is like, and I actually even break it down a little more. I mean, I created different intuition and psychic. So our intuition is like our own inner knowing, like our own inner guidance. I think it comes from our higher self. Mm-hmm. And it's like why you don't know you know, but you know, you don't know why you know, or you say like, I have a good or bad feeling. I have a bad feeling about that, or I have a good feeling about that. That's intuition. And it's coming from our higher self to guide us throughout life the best way we can get to. And then psychic is the ability to talk to get information from sources outside of ourselves. Which sounds crazy, but it's really like your angels, your guides, your, the outside sources that aren't us, you know, and our many empaths. So I think all empaths have a full boat of psychic ability. Most of the empaths that I've worked with are very, very psychic, but not all psychics are empathic. Psychics that are fantastically talented, they have a great connection to spirits, are fantastic. They're not particularly empathic.
Okay.
Did that explain it?
Yes, it does. Now, I want to ask you a question. How does one know that they're an empath? And if they're, like, if they're resonating, they're listening to you and they're thinking, oh my gosh, that's me. You know, when my sister calls me and tells me she hasn't been feeling well, I all of a sudden start not feeling well. Is that, what do they do? Like, how do they say, okay, I think I'm an empath, and then how do they go about managing this energy so that it doesn't damage them in their day-to-day life?
Well, most people who are empaths before they figure out that it's a gift, think it's a terrible curse.
Okay.
They want to throw it back. They're like, it's torturous to them.
Sure.
Think they're crazy. They're like, why am I so sensitive? Maybe everyone has told you your whole life you're too sensitive. Empathic children hear all the time, like, get a thicker skin, or like, don't be so sensitive. You're too sensitive to cry all the time, you know? And so what will happen is that we just are like sort of unusually tuned in to the energy of other people. We often will, the example you gave was a great example, feel drained quickly by people. We might feel overwhelmed in crowds. Usually empaths are pretty introverted. We might like the company of ourselves, fear being in nature, of my dog, you know, my individual people, but a whole crowd can just kind of blow my circuits, or big box stores can blow my circuits. After about 20 minutes, I'm like, I'm out of my body. I'm like, what did I come here for? Like, what planet am I on, you know? And so we can feel overwhelmed by sensory stimulation. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, in the 90s, that came out the concept of the highly sensitive person, which a lot of people related to. And I do think there's a correlation there, too. So the highly sensitive person is more like a nervous system sensitivity, where we feel like our like sort of like a raw nerve in the world. And an empath is slightly different. It's more like that sponge, feeling really like it's more of an emotional connection that has a spiritual underpinning of being a healer. I find that highly sensitive people have a spiritual gift, usually of being an artist or an inventor or a highly creative type.
Okay.
But any of them can be sensitive. And, you know, and I think if you can sort of say, well, I hate crowds. I feel very emotional myself. You know, I feel easily drained. I'm overgiving. I'm highly compassionate. I'm drawn to the healing arts. You can probably know that you're an empath.
Okay. Now, first of all, Lisa Campion is my guest today, and she's just written a fantastic book. I'm about halfway through, Lisa, so I've had a lot on my plate lately, but I'm really enjoying learning about being an empath. Or now, can you, like, I know that you can tune in and become more aware and more psychic. Can you become an empath, or are you born as an empath?
I really think people are born that way.
Okay.
I think we can become more sensitive as we sort of tune into the idea or understand that maybe we are. I think there are a lot of people, especially right now, and you mentioned this, you know, kind of in the intro, that are suddenly understanding their empaths.
Mm-hmm.
They've been that way, and this is what happened to me. Like, when I figured it out, I was 17 or 18, and that was in the early 80s, and there was no vocabulary for it, no name for it, and yet I knew that I was different from other people. So I think there's a lot of people waking up to this, that maybe it suddenly makes sense for their whole life. So people read my book and they're like, oh my God, I just thought I was crazy.
Mm.
There was something wrong with me. I just thought I needed more therapy, or, you know.
Right.
And now I realize, oh, those gifts are for a purpose. There's a purpose for them, and that purpose is actually, you know, to be a healer, helper, caretaker in the world.
Okay. I love that you said you were 17 when you figured it out, because that was my next question. When, like, what happened? Like, what happened in your life? And then did you feel a little bit nutty, or did you go, okay, I am different, and now I have to put this gift, not a curse, this gift to work for me?
Well, Jane, you know, I always felt nutty because I also have the dual gift of psychic.
Oh.
So, you know, I grew up as one of those, like, I see dead people, psychic kids.
Okay.
Now, in the 60s and 70s, I grew up outside Boston, you know, here in Massachusetts. And back then, like, you couldn't talk about, you had to hide it, because, you know, people who saw angels and talked to dead people ended up in a mental hospital.
Right.
And so I spent a lot of time, like, trying to hide that and pretend I was normal and trying to figure out what the heck was going on in my life. It sort of sparked a love of paranormal movies, because I was a little tidbit of, like, psychic training. Of the first time I saw the movie Poltergeist, there was a lady in the movie who was a psychic, and I was like, oh my God, that's the thing you can be when you grow up.
Mm.
And I decided in that moment I was going to do that. And that she also gave this little explanation about what happens when you die and why some people get stuck. And I was like, oh, thank you for explaining that to me. Finally, I know, you know. So I had that. I was trying. It took me, it just was a full-time job, honestly, trying to figure that out. And the psychic stuff was challenging, and the empath stuff was challenging on a whole different level. And when I went to college, I went to a big state school here in Massachusetts, UMass Amherst, and one day, it was Friday night, it was my first semester there, and I went to a house party. And I felt great. I'm like, at college, I'm going to my first house party. How fun is that going to be? And I walked in, and I sat next to some guy who was having a really bad day, crying into his beer and telling me all about his sorrows and troubles, you know? And like 10 minutes into it, I suddenly became like suicidally depressed.
Oh.
I was like, what is wrong with me? That crazy thing happens. I must be out of my mind. I must have, like, there's something wrong with me. I have to go home. I cannot stay here. I'm like so depressed right now.
Wow.
So I got up and I walked out the door, and it just, honestly, I think my angels like made me turn. I literally turned around and looked through the window at the same guy I was just talking to, and I suddenly felt fine. Fine. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's his stuff. I was feeling his stuff. And then I went back in, I was like, sat, and I'm like, oh, there it is. I went back out. Nope, it's gone.
Wow.
You know, and there was no vocabulary for it. There was
right.
No, you know, name, empath. I was like, I am just picking up his stuff.
Sure.
And then I had an interesting sort of spiritual lineage. I was a martial artist. My parents were hippies and took me to transcendental meditation when I was 10, you know, and then it was the 80s, and all of a sudden the new age scene was on, and I found a real teacher, a psychic teacher, and also a shaman I studied with, that really helped me put a vocabulary to this and understand, you know, teach me the skills that I needed to manage both my psychic nature and my empathic nature.
Right. And also maybe to take away a little bit of the stigma and just say, I'm not crazy. This is just, I'm just plugged in on a different path and a different level. Lisa, your book, The Energy Healing for Empaths, it's how to protect yourself from energy vampires, honor your boundaries. Boundaries are a big thing. I love boundaries. And build healthier relationships. If I'm listening right now and I'm like, this book sounds great. I'm not necessarily an empath. Is this book for everyone? Can somebody just go pick this up and find some healing and some good? Because all of us have a tendency to lean into other people's stuff.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I think so. And there's a lot that's good in there. Anyone who has struggles with boundaries and people who have read the book have told me, oh, it's not just for empaths. It's really for anyone that's struggling to get along in the world. And, you know, and the way that I teach boundaries is really because I'm an energy healer. I've been a Reiki practitioner for 20 years and an energy medicine practitioner for about the same amount of time. I see things from an energy field perspective. So the two ways that I teach boundaries are actually help people strengthen their energy field. An empath has an energy field that's like a sponge, you know, and our energy field is the energy that extends out beyond our physical body, like our personal, you know, vibration that goes beyond our body. And a non-empathic person has a really distinct boundary, like a shell on the outside of it. And an empath has a sponge. You know, so we need to learn how to hold our energy field in a different way, change the habit from being in a sponge to being in a bubble. And when empaths learn how to do that, it's not very hard. It's pretty simple. Guided meditation and visualization that I use is a game changer. All of a sudden, you can be in the world and not feel like a crazy person and not hit empathic overload 20 minutes into whatever story you're in. And once we have, it gives us a leg to stand on that allows us to learn the harder part of boundaries, which is the psychological ways of saying, figuring out when we're supposed to say no and when we're supposed to say yes, meaning supposed to on the inside of us. When we decide to say yes and no to things, that's really a skill that is more of a psychological thing. But once you can have takes a little practice, once you have your energy field a little tighter, and a little more solid, it becomes easier to do that.
You're teaching them how to wring out the sponge, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Good.
So, yeah, when we're spongy, we need to learn how to ground, because empaths spend a lot of time outside their body. And we need to learn how to wring out the sponge, how to clear, how to replace our lost energy, because if you have a sponge, you're leaking energy as well as absorbing energy. So empaths are tired a lot. How to refill our energy, and then how to set that protective field around you so that you can go in the world a little more in a protected state.
Let's talk about how you communicate this what it can be a gift. You said a lot of people are like, ah, it's a curse, I don't want this, and throw it back. But then if you learn how to manage this, you know, being an empath, it sounds like it could be very empowering for you, or you could take it in a career path like you have. How do you describe, like, when you introduce yourself or people meet you for the first time, do you say, hey, hi, I'm Lisa, I'm an empath?
I could say that. Usually I tell people I'm a psychic counselor and an energy healer. But I really do feel like my gift is, my purpose in life is to train psychic healers and empaths to fully step into their gifts.
Mm.
Because the world needs all the healers it can get. And so
yep.
many people right now are being called to it. They're feeling, they're waking up, their soul calling is waking up to their sensitivity. They're knowing they're an empath, their psychic gifts are waking up, you know, like crazy. They're feeling a call to learn how to be a healer. And my goal in life is to, like, build an army of healers, you know, that are fully functioning and out in the world doing the work they came here to do. The easy way, not like the hard way, like with a teacher, with a method, with books and classes and things like that, not sort of thrashing around and making every mistake like I did.
I love that. And I also like, you know, you had told me about, you have a 4-hour free class on your website, which is lisacampion.com. Let's talk about this class, because here you are, you're offering your gifts and your whole purpose, it sounds like, is to be help other people that have these gifts to learn how to manage them so that they can go forth and help manage other people and become energy healers. So what's this class all about?
Yeah, it really is my gift to all these struggling empaths and sensitives of the world. It's called Energy Management for Empaths. You go onto my website and there's a link right there that you can sign up for. It's free, and it's 4 hours of videos, an hour each video. That's going to go through some of the things in my book, Energy Healing for Empaths, to help you do the ground. We start right away with grounding, you know, clearing the energy management fundamentals of how do we manage our energy. We talk a little bit about energy vampires, boundary setting. We talk a little bit about intuition and how to really turn your intuition on and use it for you. And it's sort of like the most basic skill set every empath on the planet needs to know right off the bat, and that's the difference between, like, being a functional person out in the world and knowing you have a gift and being a dysfunctional, like, I can't get off the couch because I'm so wiped out and my sponge is full and I just feel like a crazy person.
Right. Awesome. Well, that's really nice. Thank you for offering that. And we'll put a link to the free class in with the body of this whole thing, you know, that they do, the lovely work that that Tony does for me on my show. Lisa, let's talk about one of my very favorite topics in the world, and that is death.
And death is in, like, you know, what happens when you die?
Yes. No, just overall, like, being an empath, you're around, you're able to understand it because you're also psychic and you're an energy healer. Let's talk about the continuation, or what perhaps you believe is next.
It's so funny. I do love that topic as well. And I have sort of a weird relationship with death because, like I told you, I was like a psychic child and I was hanging around with dead people my whole life.
Right.
It's like some of my very first memories. And it's like Murphy's Law, like, my house is haunted like crazy. It's an old Victorian house. And, like, put the psychic child in the most haunted room. That's the way it always goes for me.
Wow.
I would wake up in the middle of the night and there'd be, like, dead people standing all around my bed looking at me.
Hmm.
And they all wanted to talk. So I've never been afraid of death. I've always been like, whatever. Like, life happens. I've talked to thousands, maybe more.
Wow.
You know, 10,000 dead people in the course of my life. And I'm like, they all say the same thing. They all say there's no such thing as hell. They all say, like, Earth is hard. You know, it's easy when we get there, that we forget a lot when we come here. We forget a lot of things that you remember when you get over there, and that the gifts and the forward progress we make, we carry over, you know, between our lifetimes. I totally believe in reincarnation because people tell me, oh, I'm coming back. I'm planning my next round, you know, there. And that we bring our pain, our unfinished business with us as well. There's no punishment. There's nothing to do wrong. There's only research and learning.
Mm.
we're really here to learn compassion. That's what they've been telling me since I was little.
Wow.
That what we're here on planet Earth is like a nursery school planet for warrior spirits, for warrior souls.
Say that again.
Planet Earth is like a nursery school planet for baby warrior souls. Like, so most of the people on the planet here are fighters, are warriors, you know? And we come here to learn compassion. Empaths are old souls. Like, by the time you have to have had a bunch of lifetimes here, and as that softens you and creates compassion, it makes an empath out of you. So every empath I've ever met has been an old soul.
Wow. Really interesting. Lisa Campion is my guest today. She has Energy Healing for Empaths. That's her brand new book. And there's going to be a link right on the show page. So just click there to purchase it. Or if this resonates with you about yourself, or maybe you want to gift it. As a matter of fact, I've got several friends that I think would really, really benefit from your book. She also has a 4-hour free class. And that is Energy Healing for Empaths, right? Is that the name of the course?
Yeah, Energy Management for Empaths.
Okay, great. Energy Healing is the book. So you believe, like, the whole premise of my show is the next room. So I talk about death, dying, grief, afterlife, whatever floats the boat of the guests that I have on, whatever they are into. How do you feel about assisting someone? For instance, like the right to die. What is your view on right to die?
Well, I also have sort of radical views on all that because of the work that I've done talking to people like that. I mean, I'm all for it. I feel like, and the people that I have talked to who have been on the other side have welcomed that. It feel like it should be their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Many spirits get stuck, Jane, because in hospitals, especially because the life prolonging equipment we use in hospitals prevents them from leaving at their appointed time. So your body dies, but your spirit, or your spirit passes out of your body, but your body can't die because it's hooked up to this machine.
Mm.
You know, and that this interrupts the flow, the natural flow of death, because we have a really strong agenda in our culture that life is good and that death is some sort of pathology that we should be preventing. You know, and that's a problem, and we should be saving people from the horrors of dying. And every time I go to the hospital, I just spend a few minutes clearing all the stuck dead people out of there because they're lost. They missed their window because they're some kind of, what machinery that has prolonged the life of their physical body. And I sort of trust the wisdom of the soul knows when your time is here, you know?
Right.
And that we have, that's sort of a personal decision that's between you and God and nobody else's business, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Good answer to that question. I'm a fan. So, to me, death is pretty mystical. Like, I it's dinner conversation in this house. I just think because we do, in my estimation, we just go on and on, and we are. It's just here about love, right? It's all love.
Yeah.
And so there's really nothing to fear. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of like I just watched an interview with Warren Zevon on an old David Letterman, and he found out he had really bad cancer, and Dave was asking him about it, and he's like, well, Dave, there's one thing I learned. It's just enjoy every sandwich. And I love that. And
I love that, too.
It is. It's just like, get up and get your groove on and get busy living, whatever this is, right? Because life can be pretty great.
And especially if you're not afraid of dying.
Right. Oh.
Great. If you're living sort of full throttle, and I find people are either afraid of living or they're afraid of dying.
Wow.
And, so we can sort of split the population into two.
Mm-hmm.
And having no fear of either of those things, I think, gives us the best journey down here. And, I do think that one of the saddest things that I hear from the people on the other side is when they feel regretful. And it's mostly regrets for things they didn't do. Hardly anyone is regretful of things they did do, except if, harming other people. But it's the chances we missed because we're holding back out of fear that I hear is causes the most regret.
Well, what about if they can come back? Why would there be any regrets whatsoever? Why not just come back and do it again?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's what happens. And there is this sort of process of the life review, you know, that all spirits go through, or most spirits go through when they pass, that is sort of like looking through your life, watching it on a video with a remote control that slows it down, and then there's a team of guides that are there with you, like, to help you understand, okay, can you see when you said this to this person that had that impact on them? Do you really get it? And what do you think about that, and how do you feel about that? Because that sort of slow motion replay and analysis allows us to kind of like suck all the marrow out of the experience that we had here that we don't always have time to process, because things are going along at a pretty good clip. And during that time, I feel like there's pain sometimes, sadness, regret. And in a learning kind of way, in the culmination of all of that review process will be how you decide how to proceed into your next life.
Mm, okay.
Like, well, I really got to fix things with this particular person because I didn't play it very well. Like, I could have been kinder, or I could have told them I loved them more, or I could have shown up in a more or in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if it's regretful or sorrow, but I often hear people say that from the other side. And then there's the choice to come back and try it again. But I think if we don't feel a little bit of that regret and sorrow, we don't. It's sort of a tender-hearted openness to understanding how our thoughts, words, and deeds impacted other people.
Right. Wow. That's good. That's very good. Going to have to write that one down, too. Energy Healing for Empaths is the name of Lisa Campion's new book. It's how to protect yourself from energy vampires, honoring your boundaries, and building healthier relationships. And that book is available now. And you can catch Lisa's show. She's got a great show here on Empower Radio. It's called The Miracle of Healing. I know we touched on this a little bit, but I always like to ask this question. What is in the next room for you?
And you mean
the next room,
the other side of death, or what's next for me down here in life?
What's next for you when you cross and you leave your earthly vessel behind? Mm. What is on the other side, the next room?
You know, I think there's for me like sort of a reuniting with the original soul family. Like, I think it's like so many people tell me it's like a big party over there. It's like a garden party. It's like a cocktail party. It's like a family reunion. It's the family backyard barbecue, you know? So I fully expect a reunion with all of my loved ones that have gone before, and kind of a rest period, talking to my angels, my guides, to process what happened, and to really rejoin, like, the unity of who I am in my highest self and with God.
Mm.
And I think we kind of fuel up, we tank up, we restore ourselves, we heal, like, all the, you know, the hurt that we encounter down here on the planet, like all the scraped knees and bumped egos and all of that stuff. And then I think we start plotting our next journey down here. Personally, I love being on the planet, Jane. I'm like, it being alive, being in a body is so... Being this planet is beautiful. I love people. People experience is spectacular. And I hope I keep coming back for a long time. But I appreciate my rest over there when I'm there. I appreciate the time to rest.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this side too. And I always have to, you know, when you do a show about death and dying, you do need to speak up to the universe and say, hey, I'm good. You know, I'm digging this life. You know, it's not about that. I'm a curious woman, and I really love to have these kind of conversations. Lisa Campion, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. It's Energy Healing for Empaths, her new book. You can catch her on Empower Radio, too. It's called The Miracle of Healing. She is everywhere on social media. You can find her on YouTube, through Twitter, Facebook. You have a Facebook page, too, correct?
I do, yeah. Yep, Facebook, Instagram.
Okay.
Like you said, I'm all over.
She's all over the place, so you can find her. And certainly if anything that we've talked about today resonates with you and you feel like, gee, that sounds like me, maybe this book will be helpful. And it's really a well-written book. I'm a big fan of a well-written book, and it was easy to read and fascinating. So,
thank you, Jane. something.
Definitely do yourself a favor and pick up a copy. Anything in closing that you'd like to share?
I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to speak about this and to talk about something that I love to talk about too, that hardly anybody asks me about. So anytime you want to talk about the next room, I'm all for it. And just want to thank you so much for your time today.
Awesome. Well, you can come back on the show anytime. Thank you so much. Lisa Campion, my guest today. I'll be back next week on The Next Room.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to The Next Room.